Hello, welcome to the Christ Community Church Sermon Podcast. Christ Community is a multi-site church in the Chicago suburbs. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that God uses it to help you take the next step in your relationship with Him. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Christ Community. We are going to have some fun today. We are doing a live Bible Savvy podcast. We have been preaching through this series called A Meal with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And the reason we are studying Luke right now in our weekend series is because that is the book that we are reading together in Bible Savvy. And if you're new to the church and you don't know what Bible Savvy is all about, it is our church-wide Bible reading program where we just figured, you know what? We all want to get in God's word, and it's much easier if you sync it up and do it with other people, because then as you're reading along, you can talk with someone else who's reading the same thing as you, your community group might be doing it, and as a church, we can come alongside and support you as you're doing that. So sometimes we're preaching through the books that we're reading, but every single week, no matter what we're preaching, we have a podcast that comes out on Mondays that goes through one of the readings from that week where three of us talk about it and model how do you actually dig into this and study this sort of thing. And so we figured when we're preaching on it, and we're doing a podcast on it, why not combine them and let's do it live? So we are going to have some fun here today. Here's what I need you to do. In just a moment, we're going to roll the intro video that we normally do for the podcast. And during that time, I want you to stay quiet. But then when we greet you, I want you at whatever campus you're at to as loudly as possible cheer so that we can get as much noise as we can on the podcast recording. Can you do that for us? All right, fantastic. Let me get started with a word of prayer. God, we're so thankful that you call us to your table, that you want us to come and be with you, to spend time with you, to learn from you, to be changed by you. And that's what we want to do right now. We want to come around your word and we want to hear what you have to say. So we pray that you would open up our hearts, that we would hear what you say to us, and that we would respond in a way that pleases you and leaves us different. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to the Bible Savvy Podcast, a weekly conversation about how to understand, enjoy, and apply God's Word. It's time to jump into a new passage from the Bible Savvy Reading Plan.
All right, everybody! Welcome to a live episode of the Bible Savvy Podcast. Are you guys excited?
I'm excited.
Okay, so here's the thing. David and Courtney here are no strangers to the stage. They have preached here and they're comfortable here. And we always do the podcast together, but this is the first time we have done this live on the stage. So it's a little bit different experience. So this is going to be fun.
They can't edit me.
Yeah, so there's no going back and changing things. The other thing that's notable today is that this is actually the five-year anniversary of the podcast. We have been doing this for 5 years. And we get one toot from the horn for that. So that's pretty awesome. We're going to get started like we normally do on the podcast with a banter question. So David, what do you have for us today?
All right, guys. We are in a series called A Meal with Jesus. And a couple weeks ago, Clayton, you told our church congregation about something really cool that's happening around here. It's our Christ Community Church food truck called the Good Neighbor Kitchen. And we are so excited about this. Pastor Ben, before we announced this, had put out a call to staff saying, hey, help us name this food truck. And that was really fun to think about. What would we name a food truck where we're using it for ministry, outreach, evangelism? And I started to think, what if God blesses this food truck ministry so much that we were like, we have unlocked something and we need a whole fleet of food trucks at Christ Community and we have to name all of these food trucks. I thought, you know, a good exercise for us at Bible Savvy would be to name said food trucks. So I threw it out to you guys ahead of time to name our Bible Savvy future food trucks. So Clayton,
yeah,
what do you have?
Okay, so I tried to come up with a bunch and gather some ideas. So I've got some honorable mentions before we get to the one that I landed on. So an honorable mention is belonging, growing, slurping, and reaching. So it'd be a noodle truck, yeah, which I actually think that might have been a Wilson family idea. Okay, and then some that are variations on Bible Savvy. So burger savvy or boba savvy if you like, you know, tapioca in your drink. Fiber savvy if you want to be regular in your reading plan.
Oh, gosh, no.
And then the Bible Savvy feeding plan, we could do that as well. Okay, but here's where we landed. Get it, got it,
food.
Good.
Now, solid. Okay, so.
Solid.
Some of you actually might need some context for that. If you have started coming to our church in the last 6 months, you may not realize, but our founding pastor, Jim Nicodeme, he passed the baton to Pastor Eric and me about 6 months ago. And in his sermons, he regularly says, get it, got it, good. So that's him driving the food truck. And just side note, Jim's actually going to be back from his sabbatical next week. So he'll be preaching here next week. So you won't want to miss that. That'll be pretty fun.
It's good. It's good. Now, just to be clear, what type of food are we expecting at Get It Got Food?
Get It Got Food. Just food. I guess it could be anything. Yeah, it's food. It's food.
Mostly baked potatoes, hope.
Oh, gosh. No, that's awful.
Courtney, what about you?
There is a burger on the truck.
There's a burger on the truck.
We did define.
I think it's probably burgers.
It's probably burgers. All right. Well, my food truck, I have two sons who go to school in Wisconsin, and so I love the cuisine of Wisconsin. And who doesn't love a good cheese curd, right? Come on. And like fancy cheese curds. This is food truck cheese curds, right? So my food truck is called This is the Curd of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That is horrific. You will not be able to unsee that.
I am quite proud of that.
The cheese curd, Clayton, will haunt your dreams.
If we don't get another food truck, can we get a shirt with that?
All right. David, what's your truck?
All right, so if you're new to the church, you might not know that last year we started a capital campaign called Places Need Churches because people need Jesus, and so we're revitalizing struggling churches, and it's really exciting. We're bringing the church, we're revitalizing it, and I thought places do need churches, and churches and places also need cinnamon, flaky, sugary goodness. Places need churros.
I'd support that campaign. I would.
I mean, like, what, I mean, you guys are always trying to get me ice cream, and I think more people would come to a churro truck than an ice cream truck. I have a feeling. I don't know. But here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to vote at all of our campuses. I'm going to ask you guys to cheer for the food truck that you are most likely to go to. If you could only pick one and you showed up, you're hungry, you need a snack, you need a meal or whatever it is, you're gonna cheer for your food truck. So if you would stop at Get It, Got It Food, let's hear from you. Okay. If you would stop at Places Need Churros, let me hear from you, come on.
Oh,
weaker than I expected. Wow. Wow.
Well, maybe,
I don't know about the other campuses, but it was disappointing here.
I don't know.
All right, and if you're stopping at This is the Curd of the Lord, let's hear from you.
Wow. Nice. Thanks Bree to God.
I'm keeping a tally.
There we go. Okay, Courtney won last night too. Okay, here's what we're doing today. On the podcast, the basic idea of the podcast is that we go through a simple Bible reading method that anybody can use when they're doing their own Bible reading to go from the text to their life. And the reason we do the podcast is just to give lots of examples of how to do that. Because we know that it can be really difficult. You sit down with the Bible, you open up, you say, okay, I read it. What am I supposed to do with this? So this is a simple step process that we call the comma method that will help you do this. So we're going to go through the comma method as we go through this podcast. But beforehand, I want us to say it together. So comma stands for these five things. Let's say it. Context, observation, message, meditation, application. I'm going to explain each of these as we go. We'll start with context here, okay? Context is even before you read the passage, you think about what's around the passage. And I mean that in a general sense of like, who wrote it? When was it written? Why'd they write it? Some of the things that have happened before and after this story or the passage you're reading. Those are the kinds of things you ask about in context. Now, if you're saying, I have no idea how I would figure that stuff out, I'm new to the Bible, or I don't know about all of the books of the Bible, good way to do that is to get a study Bible. Any good study Bible is at the beginning of the book. They're going to have a page there that's going to give you most of that information. So it's really helpful to do that if you've got that. We have been studying through the book of Luke for the last few weeks here as a church. So some of you are going to know this context. But the book of Luke, surprise, surprise, was written by Luke. It's right there. That's an easy one. And it was written where Luke is, he was a doctor. So he was someone who was used to kind of thinking hard about things and gathering data. And he decided, I'm going to put together an account of Jesus's life based on eyewitnesses. So he went around and got all the stories about Jesus and said, I'm going to put together, you know, my account of those things. And he put together Luke. And one of the things that he was trying to emphasize in that was how Jesus came to announce the kingdom of God. And because the kingdom of God is something that the Bible continuously talks about as a feast, he decided to tell all the stories about Jesus at meals and parties and banquets and these sorts of things. So we've been looking at all of these stories where Jesus is talking about the kingdom or showing the kingdom at a meal. And so the story we're looking at today is one of those. We're gonna be in Luke chapter 10. So if you got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It's really helpful when we're doing this if you've got the Bible in front of you, because you're going to want to make your own observations. But let me explain observation here, the second step in comma, before Courtney reads the passage. Observation is when you are starting to look at the passage, and before you know what it means, you're trying to gather as much data about it as you can. You're essentially a detective at this point. You are looking for every clue you can to say, what's going on in this scene here? And we like to say that when you're looking for observations, there are four things that are really helpful to look for. And we've got another acronym for that. It's TREATS, T-R-T-S, not TERTS. Okay, we tell the kids it's not TERTS. But TREATS stands for T, the first T is?
Themes.
Themes. So big picture, what's this about? R is?
Repeating words or phrases.
So anything that comes up more than once, probably important to note. The other T is?
Truths about God.
Okay. If you can get nothing else out of a passage, it's worth asking the question, what does this tell me about God? Names of God, attributes of God, actions of God, what do I see? And the S is?
Something striking.
Something striking. This is kind of the catch-all when you say anything that makes me say, huh, that's interesting, or raises a question and say, I'm curious about that. If it strikes you, it might be worth noting. So as we read, as Courtney reads, I want you to do some of your own observations. Look for some of those ideas, okay? Go ahead.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
All right. We're going to start with observations. What do you guys see?
I'm sorry. I wanted to say this is the curd of the Lord.
I almost did.
I was so tempted there. My first observation is Mary and Martha. This is not the only time we see their names in Scripture. We see them a few times in the Gospels, not necessarily in the book of Luke, but other accounts of Jesus' time include Mary and Martha. If you're familiar with the story of Lazarus, there's this story where Jesus brings a guy back from the dead. Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible that if you've memorized as a kid to be impressive. This is the same family. So it seems that Jesus shows up in the life of this family more than once.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed here is this is kind of a small story. Right? Like compared to a lot of the things we're used to reading about with Jesus, he feeds 5,000 people or he calms a storm or walks on water, these really wow things. And even in this chapter, that right before this are some stories where he sends out the disciples to heal people and cast out demons, things that seem like if you saw it, you'd just be amazed. And then you come to this story, which it's basically an argument between sisters, which is the sort of thing that could happen in a million homes every single day. It's just a very mundane kind of thing, which I think is telling that God works in the big things, but he also is at work in the small things. That's where he shapes us.
Yeah, well, I noticed in verse 38, just that very first verse there, it says, a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And I know hospitality was a big thing, obviously, back there in the ancient world, and Jesus depended on hospitality. But when I read that in my current context, if somebody rings my doorbell, we're either like hitting the deck, like everybody's getting down, like don't look, don't open the door, like the house is not ready for this. Or, you know, on a good day, maybe I'm opening the door, but she just opens it up and says, "Yeah, come on in." And it's, I just found that interesting. Her house probably wasn't perfect because we see her, she's rushing around, but she opens the door.
Yeah, that's good. All right, in verse 39, something struck me that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, the reason this stuck out to me is because, Clayton, I've heard a lot of your sermons. I've seen you teach a lot. I've never seen anybody sitting at your feet listening to what you're teaching. So there has to be some like cultural context. So what's going on here, Clayton?
No, that would be weird if people were seated at my feet for sermons. But this is, in the ancient world, the posture of a disciple. So if you have a teacher and if you're a disciple of a rabbi, it was very common for them to be seated on a chair and then for the people to sit around them. And it was kind of conveying a posture of humility and a posture of submission to say, I'm learning from you. You're the one who I'm looking to for guidance and understanding. I'm learning your way of doing things. And so this was a posture of humbleness. It's also worth noting that this specifically would have been for people like Peter and James and John, like the actual disciples of Jesus. And for Mary to be there was a bit unusual. This would probably be a striking detail that someone in the ancient world would have noticed, because in the ancient Near East in the first century, there would have been designated spaces for men and women within a home. This was about propriety. They just figured if we're hanging out together, we're gonna have the men together, the women together. This is still true in many places in the Middle East now. And so this would have been an unusual thing for Mary to say, you know, in this space where it's only men, I'm gonna go and sit with these male disciples, which would have been the norm. There wouldn't have been female disciples of a rabbi, and engage in interaction and conversation about what this rabbi is teaching. That would have been a very striking thing. It would have been a breach of what would have been normal.
Yeah, and then in sharp contrast to that, Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And again, it's that distraction. I think we can all relate to that, where we are distracted by all the things that we have to do. You may even be sitting here right now thinking, like, I have to go grocery shopping, and what am I going to have for lunch? I mean, you're thinking about food because we've just been talking about it. So, you know, it's hard to focus sometimes. And when I think about this, it's like there are things that need to be done. Martha's doing things that need to be done. And sometimes we read this and we think, like, well, Martha's in the wrong, but yet she's taking care of her responsibilities. She's being responsible. Yeah. And so where do our responsibilities come in when there's this contrast of a sister sitting at Jesus's feet?
Yeah, and I actually circled the word distracted when I was reading this passage initially, because sometimes the observation when we're reading scripture is what words they don't choose as well, and that Luke very specifically chose the word distracted, which implies that there is something that she's missing, right? It's not that she was just busy. It's not that she was being diligent. It's that she was distracted. And I thought that was significant.
Yeah. Just a little side note. This is going to be a theme all throughout this passage here, but the idea of being distracted and not being able to attend to Jesus is something that I think we can all relate to. And I think it's especially true when we are thinking about our work, what our vocation is, with the things that we do day to day. That's often the place where we say, I often feel like I've got so many things going on that I miss the presence of God in those moments. And so we care a lot about that here as a church. We actually have a ministry called Faith at Work, where we want to, you know, disciple you in how do you actually engage in the ordinary things of life in a way that's attending to God. And so a resource that we've just put out this fall is a set of prayer guides. This is released on the Faith at Work podcast, but it's also available on our website. They're guides that you can use maybe when you're headed into work or coming back from work or at some point during the day. They're guides for things like, how do you surrender your calendar to the Lord? How do you process the things that you just experienced at work? When there's something that's stressful or something where there was a conflict, there are prayers that will help you reflect and connect with God about those things. I'd highly encourage you to check those things out.
Well, what about verse 40? It says, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. In some ways, I can hear my kids like complaining to me. We have chores in our house, and oftentimes we'll clean the bathrooms, and I learned not to give them a bathroom to share to clean. It's you get one bathroom, because inevitably, if they both have bathroom, well, they're not pulling their weight, and they're not doing enough. And so I can hear my kids coming like through this passage here. But it did make me wonder, like, does she feel resentful towards Mary? Is it FOMO? Is it, oh my gosh, Mary gets something that I don't get. She gets time with Jesus and I want that thing. Mm. But you know, I'm out here slaving, you know, a hospitality side, and she gets the thing I don't want. I don't know what it is, but it's clear that she's really bothered, and she's quick to compare too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she says, Lord, don't you care? Like, she goes straight to Jesus and is like, don't you care that she's left me to do this all by myself? I mean, she points it out, and it really, you know, we were talking about this, that often we do that, right? Like, God, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through right now? Or don't you see what I'm doing? And the fact that she goes to Jesus instead of going to her sister with that, it's a lament. It's that it follows that same style of a lament that she would be saying, like, Lord, don't you care? She's crying out to him instead of, you know, kicking her sister and telling her she should help.
Yeah. I think one of the things I noted it there in that same verse is the fact that he says, she goes to Jesus and says, you tell her to do what I want her to do. And I think there is some part of us, it's like, I just wish God would straighten people out around me. It's like when you hear a sermon, you're like, that was a really good sermon. I really hope they heard it, you know? And there's that feeling of like, well, I'm not going to talk to them directly. But the more I thought about this, I actually think the social situation is probably something where Martha knows what's proper in her society. So as weird as we think it would be to be like, well, the women are back there, you know, doing preparations and the men are over here discussing things, that was what was normal in that society. So Martha is saying something odd is going on here. Mary shouldn't be here. And so she's essentially going to Jesus to say, would you kind of, you know, put things back in order? Because this is really disorienting for me. I think of it a little bit like if you guys came over to my house, I know both of you would be very gracious with my kids, especially Courtney would gladly entertain my 9-year-old, you know, talking about whatever he wants to talk about, and he would occupy you as long as you let him. But at some point, it would be normal for me or for Michelle to say, hey, son, it's been great to have you here. Why don't you go back to where the kids are and hang out with them? The adults are going to talk. This is that kind of situation. Martha's essentially saying, well, he's tolerating Mary for a little while in this weird situation, but at some point he's going to say, well, go back to where the women are. The men are going to do their thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's interesting. Jesus really surprises her in this, but Martha's the one with the normal expectation in this situation. Yep.
Although I will say it does feel like Martha assumes she is 100% correct here. Like, this is so obvious to everyone. Mary should not be there. And it did make me think, like, how often I go in prayer to God, assuming God's on my side. Like, he sees things the way that I see them, and I'm right. And I hope he, like you said, I hope he corrects somebody else. And so I found it interesting that she made that assumption so quickly.
Yeah.
Well, repeating words and phrases, but when the word repeats right after itself, it's usually a big deal. So Jesus turns to her and says, Martha, Martha. And we don't totally know the tone there. And I'm always the one who reads the passage. And so oftentimes we have had to...
There have been multiple episodes of this podcast where we could not get the tone right and we burst out laughing and we had to redo the take probably 10 times in a row on one passage. So.
Oh, yes. And I had to skip the words.
Yes, we skipped it.
I couldn't get it out. I couldn't figure out the tone. This one, you know, it could be that, like, oh, Martha, Martha, like, bless your heart. Like, oh, you sweet girl, you know. It could be like the scolding tone, like, you know, Martha, Martha. It could be really tender, which I think is how I've always read it, is this tender moment where he's saying, Martha, you know, just trying to kind of speak to her specifically. But we see in scripture, whenever there's a double name, there is something going on. It feels like there's always like a calling, there's something happening. So we kind of made a list of them, like Abraham, Abraham, when he's sacrificing Isaac, Moses, Moses at the burning bush, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel's call. It goes on and on, you know, Saul, Saul, it happens many times throughout scripture. And when we talk about living in the land, like knowing scripture, continuing to read, you start to see those things and you start to say, like, where do those double names matter? What happens?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah. There is a sense of God is speaking to her situation. It's not casual. This is a deliberate kind of thing. By the way, if you are hearing this and you're saying, okay, some of these observations I feel like I can make on my own. Others are things about culture or other places in the Bible. Like, how do they figure those things out? Some of it does come from reading the Bible over years. You start to pick things up. But here's a secret. We have study Bibles, And if you read down in the notes, that whole thing about like, well, there's male space and female space, and it wouldn't be normal for a woman to be a disciple. That's in the notes in my study Bible. So I did not just come up with that out of my head. I learned it here. So you also have access to that if you've got a book like that. What other observations do you guys have?
All right, verse 41. So Jesus responds. He says, you know, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but... So it seems like he's identifying, hey, there's some serious emotion that's driving this moment, and it might be a symptom of something else, but, and then he says something that I just think is so profound, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And it was striking to me because it made me lean in and go, okay, he's acknowledging her emotion, he's acknowledging this is hard for her, however, there's something that she doesn't understand yet. And it made me wonder if Martha is either over prioritizing her preparation, or maybe she just needs to simplify her life. Maybe she needs to focus. Maybe she's missing something here. And thankfully, he doesn't outright say it, but he basically kind of leads Martha to the water and he says, "Here, drink here."
Yeah, I think it's interesting in this. It feels like such a strong statement. I mean, we've talked about this prepping, and I'm sure some of you have felt this in the story. You sort of feel bad for Martha that she is portrayed as like the person who doesn't get it because she's just being responsible. And we all know the feeling of like, but I still got to get these things done. And when Jesus says, well, no, only one thing matters, it sort of feels like, well, none of that stuff matters. I think this is one of Jesus's like classic hyperbole moments where he says something extremely strong so that it will shake us out of our normal. So you think of places where he says, you know, if your hand causes you to sin, you should chop it off. And you're like, really? Did he expect anybody to literally do that? Well, no, but he said it so strongly so that you'd realize sin is not to be trifled with. If you're just tolerating it, it's not okay. Or there's another place where his mom and his brothers come and they're like, hey, your family's here. And he's like, you know who my real family is? Those who obey God. And you're like, does that mean you don't like Mary anymore? Like, you know, like she's kind of important. And so you hear those things and you say, was Jesus dismissing all of this stuff? Well, no, what he was doing was saying, no, I'm going to shock you into seeing what's really important. I think this is a little bit like, I sometimes talk with people who are engaged, they're preparing for a wedding, and they're stressed out about all the things. There's so many things that go into a wedding. And oftentimes I say, okay, as long as you got a pastor there and you say, I do, and at the end of the day, you're married, all the other things, they don't matter, right? Like at the end of the day, if you are married, the party could fall apart, there could be a mess, whatever happens, but at the end of the day, only one thing matters. Yep. And I think Jesus is doing the same thing. If you do all the things, but you miss Jesus, only one thing mattered. Only one thing mattered there.
Yeah, and then he says that Mary has chosen what is better, the better thing, which I think also speaks to that. You know, he makes that big statement, but then he says Mary's chosen what is better. So he's not saying what you've chosen is wrong, but he is saying this is the better portion. This is the better piece.
Yeah.
You had made a note about it. Is it playing off of food imagery? Is it? Like,
yeah, it's almost like, hey, I'm giving you the choice portion of the meat. You know, this is like this is the really good stuff here. You want to try this bite? You know, like that's what it's like being with Jesus. You know. All right, let's move on to the first M in comma. You can really do the M's in either order, but we're starting with message today. Here's how message works. After you have made a ton of observations, you've seen a lot of different things. You cannot, you know, think about all of them. What you do is you grab one or two and you say, if I were going to formulate a principle based on these observations, what would it be? And we challenge ourselves to put it into one sentence. It doesn't have to be a fancy sentence. It doesn't have to be clever, but it's got to be, you know, short and succinct enough to say, I'm getting one idea out of this. And so that's what we do with message. So I want to hear from you guys. What's your message from these observations?
No, my message was we are often distracted doing things for Jesus and we miss being with Jesus. And, you know, it's based on the observations of what Martha is doing. She's doing a lot of things. They aren't bad things, but in her busyness, she's complaining that Mary isn't helping and it's affecting her attitude even about the things that she is doing. It makes me question, like, what's her motivation in doing those things? Where is that coming from? because she's worried and upset about many things, all of these things that need to happen. And yet the guy who basically fed 5,000 people with a Lunchable is sitting in her living room, right? Like just a few chapters earlier than that. And the things that she's focused on are all temporary things, not bad things, but they're temporary things. Her house is going to get messy again. But if she would just sit and be with Jesus, she would find it's that one thing that will last.
My message is permission to learn at Jesus's feet isn't based on your social status. Permission to be at Jesus's feet is not based on your social status. I base that off of the whole situation with Mary being in a space that socially speaking in that culture, she would not have been permitted to be in. And Jesus saying, I'm actually cool with that. I'm actually going to commend her for that. So Mary saying, I'm going to sit with the men and I'm gonna learn from the rabbi, was a dramatic thing. It fits really with Luke's whole theme of saying, I'm going to lift up people who are at the bottom and put them in places of honor. And this is one of those places where Jesus is saying, yeah, in this society, you think that women shouldn't learn this way, but I'm going to say in my kingdom, this is exactly where they should be. They should be at my feet learning from me and engaging in this kind of conversation. I actually think this is worth noting because I think there is a common perception today that Christianity has generally been regressive and bad for women. And if you had said that in the first or second century, people would have laughed at you. They would have said, if you want to go to some place where women have more opportunities, you should go be with those Christians because they let them do all sorts of things that don't happen in our society. And that's actually, like, we're in a place where we're used to that idea of, like, men and women are equal. Guess what? That's because for 2,000 years, the teaching of Jesus and the words of Scripture have guided us. And so permission to learn at Jesus' feet, not based on social status.
All right, my message is sitting with Jesus is actually better than every alternative. Now, I don't fully know Martha's reasoning for why she was so strung up about and worried and upset is the word that Jesus used. I don't know if it was internal pressure or exterior pressure or cultural pressure or societal pressure. But in this moment, she missed some intimacy with Jesus because she gave into the pressure of these other areas that felt, maybe that were choking out her ability to see Jesus in the moment. And so I just love how Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. And I grabbed that word and I said, I think that's a word I want to leave with as my message, that sitting with Jesus is actually better than all the alternatives, regardless of the pressure we feel.
Yeah. All right, we are going to go to the second M in comma, and that's meditation. Now, meditation, sometimes people say, well, what am I supposed to do with that? It's really simple. This is the part where you turn, and instead of just looking at the Scripture, you talk with God about the Scripture. Now, maybe you've been praying along the way, but this is a moment to pause and say, okay, God, as I'm seeing this, I'm reading this, what do you have to say to me in particular right now about this? I'll tell you the truth. When I do this in my own time, I usually spend somewhere between, a couple of minutes or maybe 10 minutes. It can get, longer. We just give you about 45 seconds when we do the podcast, which is just a kind of a taste to get you started. So we're going to do that right now. And as a way to help you along with this, we are going to put our three messages on the screen. And I'd like you to grab one of them that struck you, that you say, oh, I'm resonate with this. And I want you to talk to God about that. Say, God, what does this have to do with my life? Where does this impact me? And is there something you want to say to me about this? We'll give you about 45 seconds to prayerfully ponder. All right, we are going to go to the A in comma, which stands for application. And this is where we say, if this is true, what do we do? This is where you want to get specific about how does this impact my life? What would actually change if I believed this message? So let's hear what your applications are.
Yeah, well, my message was we're often distracted doing things for Jesus, and we miss being with Jesus. And so my application is to not miss those moments of being with Jesus because I'm doing things for Jesus. I think in 1 week, I can do a lot of things that I feel like I am doing for Jesus. I can mentor my kids' Hope Kid, and I can write curriculum, and I can, you know, be in Kids World and do all of these things, you know, go to my community group, all of these things that feel like I'm doing them like for Jesus. And then at the end of the week, realize I never had a moment where I sat and like I was with Jesus, where I just let his words wash over me like Mary's doing in this passage where she's sitting at his feet and just sitting with him. And so I think there's that danger. There's good things that we do, really good things. Those are really good things. Please don't stop serving or anything like that. But do we prepare the house and then not sit and let him in? And so taking that challenge of saying, am I doing that? Have I actually taken the time to be with Jesus every day? And I can point to those moments where I've taken that time to do that.
So my message was permission to learn at Jesus's feet isn't based on your social status. And so my application from that, on the personal side of things, this is part of the reason why I give myself to teaching people the Bible is because I really do think, and scripture confirms it again and again, that the Bible is for everyone. It's not something where you got to have to, you know, time to go get a degree or the money to pay for that or, you know, whatever. And you say, well, this, I don't know, this is for somebody else. No, the Bible is for you. And so for me, teaching people scripture is part of how I apply this. But as a church in general, we are committed to this. So many of our ministries are about teaching people scripture and specifically teaching people who otherwise might not have had access to it. So a lot of the stuff we do with our international impact is related to this. I think of a particular example that's very relevant to this story. With our partner in Bangladesh, it is a church planting movement where it's a lot of house churches that are, you know, reaching millions of people there. And it is being spread primarily through women who host those churches in their home. They're the ones who are saying, I'm going to tell my friends and neighbors, I'm going to gather them in, and I'm going to lead whatever happens here. And so training up those women in those churches to know scripture, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and what to do there is critical. We actually right now have a Go team that's in West Bengal, and they are doing a conference for women house church leaders who are planting churches. And we've done this a couple of times. It's interesting. The last time we did this, they were teaching on Genesis 1. So the like first page of the Bible where it says God made human beings in his image, male and female, he created them. And teaching on that, these are women coming out of a Muslim context, and they asked the question to our people. They're saying, you actually believe that women are equal to men? Because that was not a thing that they, like, we take it for granted in our culture, but they were saying, this is a shocking, amazing thing on page one of the Bible that God would make them equal and God would invite them to the table. So we're going to keep on teaching people that.
All right. My message was sitting with Jesus is actually better than every alternative. So my application is to reject the social, cultural, interior, and exterior pressure to do anything that keeps me away from the feet of Jesus. The reality is there's a lot of good options out there, but there's only one better option. Mm-hmm. I think about my story in high school where I felt like I finally surrendered to Christ. There were things in my life that were sinful, that were just bad things that I had to repent and turn away from and confess. But there were also just a bunch of good things that I was caught up in that ultimately at some point I had to say, you know what, there's actually something better than the good things in my life and reject whatever pressure I felt internally or exteriorly to do these things. And I think the longer we spend time with Jesus, the more we're challenged to not just say no to the bad things and say no to sin and reject sin. I think that's some of the obvious things, but the true challenge is learning to say no to the things that distract us. The good things that distract us so that we can say yes to the better thing, which is, of course, Jesus.
That's good. This has been fantastic. So much fun to hang out with you guys. Thanks for being a part of the live podcast.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Join us again next Monday for a new episode where we'll be looking at another passage from the Bible Savvy reading schedule. And in the meantime, if you're not following along with the reading plan, check out BibleSavvy.com. Also, you can subscribe and leave a review on whatever platform you're listening or watching on. Email us your questions or suggestions at podcast@biblesavvy.com. Lastly, tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us. After sermons, we like to ask, what was a key takeaway from this message? What will you put into practice from this study of God's Word? At our website, ccclife.org, you can find more discussion questions, a prayer wall to post requests and pray for others, and where you can give to Christ Community Church. If you enjoyed this message, you can subscribe and share it with friends or on your socials. Again, thanks for listening.